This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball.
Welcome into another episode of Big Time Baseball. I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. alongside my partner, John Heyman. Baseball is in full swing. We got some good stories this week. A lot of good things going on. We'll start with probably the biggest story in baseball. Fernando Tatis Jr. returns from his suspension. He goes 0-4 with two strikeouts. However, Padres get a 7-5 win. It'd be the first time they scored more than two runs in quite some time. It's just, first of all, it's good to have him back. Baseball missed him. Now he still have to pay the consequences as we go into these road cities. Although Arizona is a good landing spot, only about 16,000 people in the stands. I would argue that at least half of them were Padre fans. He got far more cheers than he got boos last night. But this is one of the premier players in all of baseball.
Yeah, that's a good place to start. I thought it was interesting. You said the biggest story in baseball. I was guessing along with you what you were going to say. In San Diego, certainly that is the biggest. Of course, I'm sitting in New York, and we think Max Scherzer is the biggest story. But I knew you'd say Fernando Tatis, which I'm kind of with you on this one. To me, he's the most exciting player in the game when he's out there. Obviously, had a lot of injuries, had that PED situation. You're right, Arizona's a great place to start. I think people are a little sleepy in Arizona anyway. The 16,000 people there, I could see a lot of fans of the other teams in Arizona, a lot of displaced people in Arizona. So good place to start. He had something like an 1,800 OPS on his rehab assignment. So I'm expecting big things. Obviously, first game was not much, but they did win. And they are my World Series picks, so I have big expectations for them.
You know, John, I tried to temper expectations because, you know, we saw the 1,800 OPS in AAA when he was basically just, you know, taking those kids' lunch money when he was down there rehabbing. But this is the big leagues, and he hasn't played since I believe it was October 3rd of 2021. So that's a long time to miss baseball at that level, and it showed a little bit. I think he was a little bit anxious. You know, he wanted to get out there and do so well. And so, when pitchers see that, they're going to take advantage. It took some getting used to. We had the morning, or I should say the pre-game press conference that he had. And it was an absolute circus out there with all the media there. And it's something I'm sure he's going to have to get used to again as, you know, he moves into the next season. The next stop won't be as friendly. It's Chicago.
No, it won't. The friendly confines, not as friendly to the away team. There is a little extra pressure on him, as you alluded to. He's going to have to prove, and I believe he is an extremely talented player. I believe in him, but he's going to have to prove that he can do it without the PED. So not going to be easy, but this is a talented fellow, and this is an amazing lineup. Only Bogaerts is really doing well out of the superstars on that team to this point, but still have faith in Soto and in Machado that they're going to pick it up a bit.
Yeah, last thing on this, I will say it's nice to have a sounding board like Nelson Cruz, who's been through all of this and has handled it probably as good as anybody who's ever been involved with these type of situations. We don't talk about it with Nelson. It's because of the way he handled his business after. I was speaking to him. One of the things he said, only thing that Fernando can do moving forward is go play. And his play will ultimately be the thing that quiets a lot of the noise.
Yeah, I mean, that clubhouse is certainly a lot more mature, not just in terms of years, having Cruz there. I like the pickups that they've made in terms of the personality. Bogart's a terrific guy, gentleman. I think there are people there who are really going to help Tatis. You know, I mean, obviously they did well last year getting as far as they did, but if your dynamic is only Machado and Tatis, you know, they may be butting heads a little bit. You know, there's a couple of egos involved there. You don't have to say anything. That's me talking. But I think it's good. They have Bogarts there. They have Cruz there. I think Carpenter is a good veteran. You know, it feels like their clubhouse is a little bit more mature now.
Yeah, no, the clubhouse is definitely a very welcoming clubhouse. So we'll see how things go. All right, let's move to the East Coast, where the biggest story out that way, Max Scherzer, takes a 10-game suspension. I got to tell you, I was on Max's side until he didn't appeal. I had a short period of time I played with Max. I competed against him. He just doesn't strike me as the type of person that would try to take advantage, to game the system, if you will. And he seemed pretty adamant that it was just rosin and sweat. Major League Baseball, in their memo, pretty much slapped that down. Now, I'm torn on this, John, because I've been around pitchers. I was a non-believer at first, but then I actually seen it with my own eyes, with what sweat and rosin can do. It creates a really tackiness. Now, I didn't touch Max's hands as Phil Cuzzy did that day, but I don't know. The fact that he didn't appeal, that kind of changes my mind a little bit. Maybe there's something else to it.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting thought. I mean, he said he didn't appeal because it was going to be heard by somebody at MLB. So obviously we knew what the appeal ruling was going to be. You know, I mean, you obviously you're working for Rob Manfred. You really can't then say, okay, we're overturning this now.
So this isn't a mediator pick between the PA and the MLB?
It was going to be an MLB. But knowing what a fighter Scherzer is, I'm surprised he still didn't go through it. I know that was the plan, was to appeal. I did hear he got the fine. Not that the fine matters. I saw somewhere that he makes $13,000 per pitch. So a $10,000 fine doesn't mean that much. But the fine was knocked down, I believe, to $5,000. I get what you're saying a bit. You know, I mean, Scherzer is a fighter. You know, why not get on the record what it is? If you're innocent, you know, my feeling on this is that, you know, there's a lot of judgment calls in baseball. There's a judgment, obviously, balls and strikes, the check swing, even the pitch timer to some degree. You can use a little bit of judgment, a little bit of leeway. But, you know, in this case, I don't love a judgment when you're talking about somebody's integrity.
Me too.
I'd like it to be black and white. However it is, you either have maybe a lab at the parks or something, because I know when Santiago was busted for this.
They took his glove.
They got the glove and they tested it and guilty. And now we have proof. So, you know, it's like the PEDs, and we could say Tatis and whoever else. There are hundreds of guys who have gotten PEDs. I don't want to pick on Tatis, but that's a question in my mind. They did something wrong and they cheated. So, in this case, I don't like to impugn somebody's integrity over a judgment call, particularly when we're talking about an umpire. Now, maybe Phil Cuzzy's the one who's doing it right and everybody else is doing it wrong, but it's a little weird that all three pitchers who've been, quote-unquote, busted were by Phil Cuzzy. There are 100 other umpires. Why does nobody else ever catch anybody? It's just a weird thing. When you're talking about integrity, I think it's important enough. I understand. Yeah. It's going to be standard and not a rule, you know, but trying to make the standard the same for everybody. It doesn't appear to be that case when Phil Cuzzy's busting people and nobody else is. You know, the one thing I'll say about this is, you know, he says it was just rosin and sweat. He did say that he washed his hands with alcohol in front of an MLB official. Is it possible? And one pitcher told me that alcohol can have that effect too. Maybe alcohol, but My thought would be Scherzer should know that alcohol would have an effect of stickiness with rosin. I don't know, but maybe he didn't. And maybe alcohol caused it to be more sticky. I don't know. There's a lot of questions here for a guy to be suspended for an integrity issue, for me, anyway. But he's got his heart in the right place. I do think they need to do something about it. The tackier ball is the best solution if they can do that. If not, I think they got to figure out a way to make sure that if a guy is guilty, he's really guilty.
Well, it's certainly already being done in Japan. They have a tackier ball. They don't have a need for rosin because the ball comes out the pack, out the plastic, already tacky. So I don't know how we get there, but that's where we need to get to, because I, like you, don't like the vague reasoning for ejecting Scherzer in this situation, right? I can't deal with, you know, in this case, it was Dan Bellino, because he's the crew chief, speaking for the umpires, right? I can't deal with the answer of, man, that's the most stickiest hand I've ever touched. Like, that is not that is not evidence against somebody. And again, like you said, when you eject somebody for something like this, you're messing with somebody's integrity at this point. And I competed against Max for a long time. I've played with him for a few months. He's not that type of individual. He wants to do everything, it seemingly, the hard way most of the time. And
I'm not saying anything about Dan Bellino. He is a lawyer, so he's a pretty smart guy. He's going to say the right things. But when you hear that, it feels like, you know, when a guy gets busted for DUI and the cop always says he's got slurred speech and red bloodshot eyes. Well, you know, that's unprovable. I mean, okay, we have to take his word for it, I guess, right? You know.
Yeah.
I'm with you. That's stickiest. This is the stickier. You know. To me, that's not proof. I need proof. You know, I watch Forensic Files. They got to prove something. To me, they didn't really have the goods on them, and it's unfortunate to me. But I think they're trying. They're doing the right thing. But
I would
just use the tacky ball, and then we can stop all this nonsense.
I would love for, like, during spring training, when umpires and players get together, when they have those meetings early in the year, the pitchers do a seminar on sweat and rosin. And that way, maybe they could show umpires can see it for themselves, how actually tacky it gets. And the thing is, I think for a guy like Max, who, by the way, sweats profusely, right? It's more sweat and it equals more tack. And so, I don't know. They just got to figure out a better way to go about this than what they're going about it.
It's debatable. When someone is suspended for an integrity issue, which should be black and white, not a debatable issue.
All right, let's move to our next one. The Oakland A's look like they will soon be the Las Vegas A's after a binding, not non-binding, a binding agreement in terms of buying some land from Oakland's ownership has already been signed, sealed. It's happening. This looks... Finally, it looks like there's an end coming to this long, long played out saga, John.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the right solution. It's unfortunate for the people of Oakland and that East Bay. And, you know, I think at this point, obviously they never could get a stadium deal done there. You know, I'm not sure who's to blame, but, you know, obviously that they've run that team down now. So I don't see why Oakland didn't give them a stadium. I mean, that team is, you know, I mean, you think the Nats or the Royals or the Tigers don't look so good. The A's are like half as good as those or twice as bad as those teams. But, you know, this has been going on for more than a decade at this point. And Las Vegas is a good solution. It seems to be a great sports town. And obviously the hockey and the football have worked there. You know, I feel a little less bad because they still have the San Francisco Giants in that area, but baseball doesn't love it when teams move, and I think baseball is right about that. I never got the San Diego Chargers moving to Los Angeles. I think that was ridiculous. And so I'm glad that baseball makes it difficult to move, but in this case, I think we're at that point where Oakland needs to move.
As a guy who grew up in this game, you know, Oakland, this makes me sad a little bit because Oakland has been a part of my baseball life, the entirety of it. And so now for those folks to lose their team, I do think it's sad. But I also recognize that when these type of things happen, it's not just a one-way street. There might be more blame on one side than the other, but it certainly isn't all going to fall on the Oakland franchise, right? The Oakland ownership. It takes two to be able to put a stadium, and we're past the days of people wanting to pay it out of their tax money, right? So it just becomes a much more difficult situation if you don't have two parties that are invested in keeping a team in a place. And it seems like that's where we are right now in Oakland, and it seems like that's coming to an end, which now only leaves one more place before expansion can happen, and that's Tampa. We'll see how that goes. A lot of people, I'm sure today or yesterday, woke up, you know, in Oakland not feeling great about, you know, losing another team. They've lost the Golden State Warriors out of that area. They've now lost the Oakland A's. It's not good for the city for sure, but as you said, you're on Vegas is open is a new kind of land where everybody's moving to in sports, where it was kind of the forbidden land for a long period of time.
Well, I get it. I mean, if I had a week and I had a choice to spend between Oakland and Las Vegas, I wouldn't really have to think that hard about it. You know, Las Vegas is it's a fun place to be, and it's certainly a thriving community, you know, and they've done well with the sports teams. And, you know, I mean, frankly, there is a team in the Bay Area now, so not quite as bad as when you lose a team. I think this is the solution. It's not perfect, but I think it's the right thing.
All right. Very rarely on our show do we talk about the Anaheim Angels, but they are 9-10 right now. Good enough. Tied for second in the National League West is very, very early, but that's not where this is going. Reports are out saying if the Angels fall out of playoff contention, Ohtani will either A, wait till free agency and leave, or B, try to get traded during the season, or Angels could move them before they get nothing for him. This is a pretty tough situation for the Angels. They're going to have to win ball games. The pressure's on.
Yeah, I would say in the terms of the trade, I think, of course, anything could happen. We're in a fluid situation. I think that's highly doubtful. They didn't trade him last year when they were completely out of it. 2 years to go, they could have gotten a ton. They could have made that Soto deal and gotten those five great players for Ohtani. Yeah. So that was the time to do it if you're going to trade him. And frankly, when they went to the owner, Artie Moreno, he was very adamant and very colorful. And I think you know what colorful means in this case. But the idea of trading Ohtani. And I saw him at the owners meetings in Palm Beach in February. I can't believe they let me into the Breakers with all those really rich people, but I was there and I talked to Artie Moreno, and this guy does not want to be the one to trade Ohtani, and he's going to try his best to try to keep him. That said, you know, of course it's possible they trade him, but I think that's unlikely. In terms of keeping him long-term, it's a long shot. I mean, I don't think there's any question. I talked to Mike Trout. They were just here in New York, and he said, we need to get in the playoffs to have a shot at Ohtani. So if they're not in the playoffs, you know, I know he didn't speak for the organization, but he knows that if they're not in the playoffs again, he's gone. The guy wants to win. He didn't come here to lose. You know, he wants to prove he's the best player in baseball, which I think he's done. But I think he wants to win. So the Dodgers, the Padres, you know, there are other options where you could go. If they don't make the playoffs, I think he's gone as a free agent. If they do, as Trout said, they have a shot. I think it's an outside shot, but a shot. I think the Dodgers are probably the favorite. They cleared the books. They have the money. They win annually. You know, I never count the Padres out of anything now. They've surprised me five times already. Certainly, I expect the Cubs, the Rangers, the Yankees, the Mets, many teams to be in. I think he favors the West Coast and, most importantly, wants to win. I do not see a trade for him. I mean, we can speculate all we want. He could be traded. Sure, he could be traded. I don't see it happening.
Yeah, I think it's telling that Mike Trout was that specific about what it would even take to have a shot to get Ohtani back. He's in the locker room with him literally every day. So I think that says it all. You either win and get into the playoffs, and hopefully you make a deep run. That sounds like really the only thing that enhances your chances once you get into the playoffs. So we'll keep keeping an eye on the Angels moving forward. All right, Madison Bumgarner, with $34 million still left on his deal, the Diamondbacks have decided to designate him. They're moving on after really what was, I would say, a disappointing stay in a Diamondback uniform.
Absolutely. I thought they got him at a bargain of $90 million for 5 years. And, you know, if he was the same Madison Bumgarner, that would have been a bargain. But, you know, it's not easy for a team to just chip in, you know, give up on $34 million, particularly the Diamondbacks. You just referenced they're doing well and 16,000 fans, and they have the least expensive tickets in baseball. So their revenues are not great, obviously. So they obviously don't think he has much left. I checked with the Yankees because Brian Sabian is now executive with the Yankees, and they, at least the person I talked to there, they also don't think he has much left. To me, that was a logical place. They've got Severino on the IL. They've got Rodon on the IL, and that made sense to me. I could see the Giants. I mean, they almost owe him. He brought them 3 World Series. He wasn't making, you know, probably what he should have been making in that period for the Giants. So I'm going to speculate that the Giants might be a possibility to bring him back. But I think somebody gives him a chance because he is one of the greatest postseason pitchers ever. It's hard to even see it. A 2.11 lifetime ERA in the postseason facing all those great teams. Really an amazing postseason pitcher. I think it'll be an interesting Hall of Fame candidacy because if you talk about impact or peak, he's pretty darn good. But I think, you know, people generally look for, you know, the bulk numbers. So it might be a tough case, but certainly had big impact almost all with the Giants.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll see if Madison has another opportunity elsewhere. We'll end on this one. New report from Philly is Harper will not be sent for assignment once cleared. He will return right to the majors. Early reports say that could be as soon as 2 weeks. Now, you've been kind of teasing this over the last couple weeks that he was going to end up coming back faster than anybody was thinking he was. What say you to this report that they're not even going to send him to the minor leagues? He's going to go straight to the big leagues. Is that a sign that this Philly team needs him now, or is it just that Harper's that good? He doesn't need to go down there.
I think it's about Harper. I mean, he's a ball player, and, you know, I'm hearing 2 weeks as well. And, you know, even when they were saying first half, I was hearing late May. Now it looks like it's going to be early May. I mean, it's very quick for Tommy John surgery, but of course he will be a DH at the beginning. Interesting thing is, will he end up playing first base at some point? Because obviously they've lost Hoskins. I think Hall is now out. So they need some help at first base, but not immediately. I mean, he did have Tommy John surgery in late November. This is pretty quick. I think it's at 7 months coming back. Not even. So that's pretty quick, half a year. But, you know, he's chomping at the bit, wants to get going, and I do believe 2 weeks is the right amount of time for him.
I have a hard time seeing him playing the field that soon. Like, DHing, cool, you know. But you eventually will have to throw playing first base.
Yes.
And so I don't know how this is. I've never even heard of somebody coming back from Tommy John this early.
Yeah. Well, we had a first baseman in New York who barely threw. That was, you know, he only threw in an emergency. That was Jason Giambi. But you really can't play first base like that. Not nowadays. You know, he would occasionally throw to second if he absolutely had to, and usually got it over there. But you're right. If you're playing first, you're going to have to throw the ball at least occasionally, and maybe a few months away from that.
Well, we'll stand by and await the return of the great Bryce Harper. That's going to do it for this episode of Big Time Baseball. Thank you for listening. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts, including the free Odyssey app. Make sure you turn on the auto download feature to get our episodes as soon as they drop. For John Heyman, I'm Tony Gwynn Jr. We'll catch you next week on Big Time Baseball.